right. So 1 Thessalonians 3. These are some strange times. The coronavirus will get worse in the coming weeks. That's what I've been told. That's what you've been hearing. That's kind of what a lot of us were guessing the whole time anyways, that it only get worse before it gets better. You think about the rate of transmission, how long it takes for people to recover, the fact that some people have no symptoms, but they have it and are still transmitting it and sharing it, you know, with other people. And so this pandemic can grow even more. I've heard almost a quarter of a million people could possibly die because of this. This is a serious time. Now, just in the last 4 weeks or so, there's been at least four, maybe more, in America, earthquakes. Have you noticed that? We had a 3.1 right here in Glens Falls or South Glens Falls area. There's been other ones in Nevada, in Utah. Yesterday, there was one in Idaho, and another one in Idaho today. So these are some strange times, and we need to be prepared because we don't know when we're going to meet Jesus face to face. People are trying to be prepared. Our government is trying to be prepared. Now, people are trying to catch up, you know, with getting the face masks and the gowns and the medical equipment and the breathing devices and things. And it's just the way that it is. But we want to be prepared. What about being prepared for eternity? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for whatever tomorrow holds? And the fact is, you and I do not know what a day may bring forth. So we have to be ready. We need to be ready. So friend, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for whatever tomorrow holds? These are God-given opportunities. This internet service right now is a God-given opportunity. If this happened 20 years ago, this would not have happened. We couldn't be doing this. If it was 10 years ago, it would not have been nearly like the exposure for the gospel like we have right now. And again, welcome to all of those who are watching. We're glad you're looking for answers. And this book has the answers. The Bible is what we need. And so I'm so glad, and our church is so glad that you've chosen to watch and to search. And not just the media or not just what you remember as a child, but you're looking for something. And here's where the answers come from for what you are asking in your mind. What's happening in this world? Well, I've got some good news for you in these bad times that we're living in. Notice the first few verses. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it be good to be left to Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and what ye have good remembrance, or that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. I'd like you to think about how enduring faith is good news. Faith is good news, and we need faith that's enduring in this crisis that we're in. Faith is a primary part of the Christian life. So what is faith? Now you'll hear people say, keep the faith, brother, keep the faith. But what faith are they talking about? What is it exactly they mean by faith when they say keep the faith? Have faith. Have faith. You hear people say that. Have faith. They'll respond during a tragedy. Have faith. Faith in what? What's their faith in that moment? Don't stop believing, others may say. Don't stop believing. Just keep believing. Whatever it is, whatever you do, just keep believing. Well, what are they talking about? We believe in a lot of different things, and from a day-to-day basis, we all place our faith in various situations and circumstances. The most critical element of faith is what your faith is in. It's usually who or what. Who is your faith in, or what is your faith in? We could say it this way, the object of our faith. What is, or better yet, who is the object of your faith? What is it, or who is it, that you're really believing in? Now, we're not having faith in faith. Well, just have faith. Faith for the sake of faith is nothing. We don't have belief in the idea of belief. That doesn't mean anything. It's the object of our faith. It's not the what or the how, but the who. For the Christian, our faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to our eternal salvation, it's not in my works, it's not in good things that I do, it's not in religion or being a Baptist. My faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work in the cross. That's how I'm saved and how I'm forgiven, is because he shed his blood, died, and then rose again. We place our faith in Christ. We believe in what he did on our behalf. And so that's where our faith comes into such an important part of our Christian life, is that's where we get salvation. It's faith through and in Christ, not by our own works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's only a work that God can do when we place our faith in him. Now, on a daily basis, we live by faith. You are perhaps sitting in a chair, and right now you're trusting that chair to hold you up. You have faith in that chair. You have faith on a daily basis that the food that you eat is going to be healthy food and it's not dangerous food or poisonous food. You have faith for that. The Bible defines faith for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the Hall of Faith chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love that. I don't have to see it for it to be true. I don't have to know how something works for it to be real. Now, the closest thing to keep the faith is found in the book of Revelation. The idea of keep the faith. Hey, just keep the faith. You know how people say? The closest thing to that is Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, in that passage, keep the faith, he's talking about those who were going through the tribulation in the book of Revelation, and they kept the faith, and they kept the commandments of God. I think that's important for us to know, because if a person really believes something, then just like for those tribulation saints in Revelation, their faith is going to be connected to their works. They're going to keep the commands of God because they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, James talks about this a lot in James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith without works is dead. So I can say I have faith, but if it's not informing my actions, then I really don't believe what I say or think in my mind to believe. Our faith must inform how we live and what we do, or else we do not really believe what we say. And it really should impact our daily living. We act upon what we believe. So value your faith. your faith in Christ. Value your faith. And let that faith in the gospel influence and impact your daily living. So notice three ideas from our passage here, because Paul is excited. Him and Silas got good news back from Timothy, and he had some good news during some bad times, and we need some good news during some bad times as well. And here's what was good news to him. Your faith is still relevant. Your faith is still growing. Your faith is being spoken of by the people around you that are watching you experience your tribulation and your troubles, and they see your faith, and it's making such a difference in my life and in the lives of others. And so that was good news to him. We can have similar good news as well, because we can treasure our faith. Notice in verses 1 and 2, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy were traveling partners. They had been going on their second missionary journey. In the back of your Bible is probably a map, and you could find a map that says the missionary journeys of Paul. And missionary journey 2, they had passed through Thessalonica. They'd seen the church planted. They were there at least 3 weeks. People were saved, and the church began. And then they leave, and they hear about this church. He sends a letter back, but as he is about to send a letter, he sends somebody. And the person he sends is Timothy. He sends Timothy back to check on him and to encourage them. Notice the next verse. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And so again, all about the faith. Their faith was treasured. They had different elements of persecution. They had their own crises that they faced. And just like we are in a crisis, we can learn something from these Christians in the early church. Now, their faith was established. You see, Paul was praying for them, their persecution that they were going through. A lot of that was maybe social, some of it was economic, and they had different pressures on them because they were now Christians who were formerly Gentiles and going after pagan gods and false religions. And in a few more verses, he'll talk about how, well, the Christians over in Jerusalem, they were attacked because of converting from Judaism to Christianity, and there were some similarities in what they were facing. And so Paul was saying, I wanted to know how you were doing. We sent Timothy to encourage you and to nurture you and to help you in your faith. Now, we all exhibit faith every day. These people were exhibiting faith every day. When you go to bed at night and you hope to wake up in the morning, you go to bed in faith thinking that you'll wake up. When you flip a light switch, you have faith that that light will come on. We act on faith every day, and sometimes our faith and what we believe in, it's not something we actively think about. It's just, well, I go through the routine. I open the refrigerator. I think the light's going to come on. I believe food's going to be there, and we just go through the routines of life. So how can we direct our faith? We need to establish our faith, to direct our faith towards God. The word establish is used here. He said to establish your faith. That means to set fast in a certain direction. To set fast in a certain direction. That's what he's talking of here. Have you ever played with like a toy car, and it's one of those one-way cars, and you pick it up and you turn it a different direction, and then it just starts rolling that direction. Maybe you pick it up and you send it off another direction. Okay, you are setting its course. You are directing it in a way to go. You are establishing it in a way. Think about the trains on a train track. You try to get those little trains on a little play track on the rails and send it off in that direction. You are establishing it. Have you ever playfully played with a little child, maybe a toddler, and they're just kind of running and still kind of tripping and falling, but you kind of direct them, you get them on the right course? That's the idea here. Paul said, we're sending Timothy to help establish you, to direct you the right way. Because we have all these different things we put our faith in. The light switch is going to come on. My car is going to work. The chair's not going to fall with me in it. The roof over our head will hold up. We put our faith in a lot of things. So how do we direct our faith to something that's more meaningful and long-lasting? Well, we need to have our faith established when it comes to our salvation in Christ, established when it comes to who Jesus is in our life. So there are going to be some trials and troubles that could cause your faith to swerve. These early Christians experienced some of that, and we're going through one of those things right now. You could either draw closer to God or go further away from God through a crisis. What will you do with your faith? Now, before the trial comes, I encourage you to establish your faith. Now, after a trial comes, by all means, run after God. Find God, and He is always available. But wouldn't it be helpful to already have a right direction with your faith, to already be established in your faith? Absolutely. It would help a lot in crises. Now, this crisis is an opportunity. It's a chance to come back to God. Friends, don't waste this opportunity. I heard somebody say recently, every crisis is an opportunity. Don't waste a crisis. I think it was a public official or somebody. You know, make the most of something. Now, they may have different motivations for that. Can I encourage you from a gospel Bible-centered focus, let's use this opportunity to share the gospel. And then for all the friends watching, this is an opportunity for you to know the God of the Bible, the God who created this earth, and the God who is in heaven, who loved you so much He sent His Son to live on this earth, to die, to rise again, and to offer salvation to you. This is an opportunity for you to get to know Him. And so establish your faith. Comfort your faith. Comfort your faith. He sent Timothy to offer some comfort, establishment, and then comfort. Who is it that ministers to your faith? Who is it that nurtures your faith, who invests in your faith, who offers comfort during difficulty? Now, Timothy was several things to these early Christians, and he's described here as a brother in Christ. Do you have brothers in Christ? Do you have sisters in Christ that are encouraging you in the faith? How about a minister of God? He's called a minister of God. Same person. He has three different roles here. A minister of God. Here's a man that's called of God, who is dedicated to delivering the good news of the gospel and delivering and teaching the Bible. And then he's also called a fellow laborer in the gospel. So a fellow laborer in the gospel. He's laboring together with Paul and Silas. And so he's working well with other ministers. Timothy was not undermining Paul's ministry to the Thessalonians or to any of the churches that they went to. They trusted one another, and Paul trusted Timothy that Timothy's there to go and help out. He's not going to undermine, he's not going to cause people to go away from church or to go away from God or to no longer care about our ministry. We're co-laborers together. And so Paul was being assisted by Timothy, and what a great help he was. So their faith was treasured so much that they sent Timothy to go nurture it and to give them comfort and to help establish them further and deeper in their faith. Number two, faith is also going to be tested. Faith is so valuable that it is going to be tested. Now, in chapter 2, we looked at the idea of Satan and him being against our faith. And Paul brings that idea up again in verses 3 through 6. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. They had some problems, afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when we could no longer forbear, I couldn't wait anymore. He says, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, he's speaking about Satan, the tempter, will come and have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. The tempter, he's referring to Satan. I like the statement somebody said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. A faith that's not been tested cannot be trusted. Right now, your faith is being tested. Can you trust your faith? Is it something that is solid in your life? Now, tribulation will come. It's made clear in verse 4. Now, he's not talking about the tribulation, the great tribulation of the book of Revelation. That will occur following the rapture of the church. But while we are waiting for the rapture, there will be tribulation. He's talking about Christians in the church age, the age of grace, in which we're also living. And let me see here, make sure we're still together. It said we disconnected for a moment. Reconnection successful. Okay, so all right, now we're back. Just wanted to make sure. So we disconnected for just a moment there. So tribulation will come. But while we're waiting for the rapture, there will be troubles that we face collectively, even individually, and regionally, and nationally as people. So tribulation will come. For example, Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I think every time an earthquake happens, that's a good example of that. The earth is groaning. This coronavirus, that's an example of that. The world is waiting for redemption. Our bodies get sick, and we're looking forward to the day of our bodies being fully redeemed. The transaction of salvation is completed when we put off this old body and put on a new body that takes place at the rapture. So we're waiting for that to happen. But in the meantime, there's going to be tribulation. There will be more earthquakes. There will be more crises and pandemics and hurricanes and tornadoes and problems with governments and wars and rumors of wars and all these types of things. Our faith is going to be tested. Every generation since the time of Christ had their moments of testing and tribulation. And so a faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. We're going through a test right now. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10, Paul said it this way, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." So trials, tribulation will come, but also temptation. He mentions the tempter in verses 5 and 6. "But then Timotheus, he came unto you and to us and brought us good tidings of your faith, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." He said, I don't want to see our ministry, our work, your faith be something that's empty, useless, or in vain. He said, lest the tempter come there in verse 5. And yes, the tempter will come. There will be temptation for you. Paul issues a warning about the temptation that comes from Satan. Thomas Jefferson, he said, "Do not take the bite. Do not bite at the bait of pleasure till you know there is no hook beneath it." That's a good thought for us tonight. Each temptation leaves us better or worse. Neutrality is impossible, Erwin Lutzer said. Each temptation leaves us better or worse. When your faith is tested, when your faith has a tribulation come, or when a temptation comes, that's a testing. Will you endure? Will your faith continue? Or will you have setbacks in your faith? Now, a lot of what happens to us, especially when it comes to the direct assaults against our minds, really comes from Satan. Isolation is not helpful. One of the reasons I like this social media platform, you can communicate a little bit. Some of you are typing, you know, hello and God bless and checking on each other like that. I think that's good. We need the accountability and the encouragement, because isolation increases our temptations to backslide, to give up, to fall or falter when it comes to sin. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep means to protect, cherish, guard your heart, because everything comes out of what we are loving. Many people are resorting back to addictions and drugs and alcohol. During this coronavirus, during this pandemic, in the last several weeks, alcohol purchases are up 55% from what their normal rate of a purchase are. People are buying alcohol. They're trying to cope with forgetting their problems. They're trying to cope with alcohol to kind of just erase some of the memories of the difficulty right now. But the fact is, if you're coping with alcohol or drugs or some other addiction, friends, listen, the virus will still be here tomorrow. You may still not have your job. You may still have relational issues. There's still going to be problems in your life just using alcohol to try to overcome something that you're coping with as a coping mechanism. It's not healthy. It's not good. It doesn't help. It does not change anything. In fact, many times it just compounds the problem. There's a better way to cope. There's a better way to get by. It's not isolation. It's not coping by going to an addiction. You see, people are falling back. They're being tempted right now. They're being tempted and they're going back to some temptations. And friends, put those things down and find your coping through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith in Christ will see you through this tragedy that we're experiencing together. I implore you, cope better without an addiction. Faith in Jesus, faith in the written Word of God, memorize some scripture, read some Bible. There's a better way to get through this crisis. You see, Satan is fighting against you. Chapter 2, verse 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Again, Paul is attributing a lot of the struggle that we have, even in the Christian life, is the direct assault of Satan or the opposition of Satan against us. And so when you're being tempted right now, be encouraged. Set those temptations to the side and find the Bible, read some scripture, refocus your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. In Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. You know somebody that's sliding right now, they're sliding away from God, they're sliding away from the Bible, they're sliding away from church or Christianity. They need more Bible in their life. They need more of the scriptures to inform their decisions. And friends, it's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's another thing to internalize it and then make it effective in your heart by actually living it out. And so let's know the scriptures. Put on the whole armor of God is another way to look at that. And so finally then, a faith trusted. Verse 7 and 8. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Other people are in trouble. Paul said it was good news. It was good news when I heard of your faith. In fact, the same word here, good tidings, it's the same word for gospel. It's the same Greek word, gospel, tidings, good news, glad tidings idea there. And so other people are in trouble. And he said, well, I heard of your faith. People in our region heard about your faith. It encouraged them. It helped them. And others in trouble, in crises right now, are looking at you, Christian brother and Christian sister. They're looking at, is your life full of fear right now? Or do you have a confidence, not an arrogance, but a confidence that God will see us through, that God is working out everything for His glory, for the good of us and His glory, that the gospel can still advance, that God still loves us, and I don't have to fear because I'm being held in the very hands of God Almighty Himself. And He still loves me, and no matter what happens to me and what happens in this world, I still have this calm assurance because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, other people are watching how you respond during this crisis. Our faith comforts others, but it also compels other people to believe. Do you have something that the lost people around you don't have? As a Christian, do you have something that during this crisis makes you stand apart as different than someone who does not know Jesus? And for all the friends watching right now, you may have a Christian friend. They've handed you a little paper with scriptures on it, or they've invited you to watch this online service, or in the past they've invited you to church and talked to you about Jesus, perhaps around a dinner table or lunchtime or something at work. The reason they do that is because they love you and they care for you and they want you to know the peace of God which passes all understanding. Jesus said that He is peace. He came to give peace. He came to make peace. Because of our sin, we're at odds with God, but He came to make peace with the Lord. And there's that peace that this Christian has, and you're looking at them like, wow, there's something different about them. That's the reason why. They have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their faith may be compelling you right now to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Christian, your response to God, your response to the government during this time of crises when they say to isolate, we can obey that authority. We can obey that and have problems. I may have another short video later about that. And we're still able to have church online like this. It's not like the government's after churches right now. Everything major when it comes to gathering has been canceled. And so that's not the whole goal of what's happening. It's to keep people safe, and it's to care for one another. So you see, our response to God, our response to government and the mandates and the directives that we have been receiving about this corona crisis, how we responded to that speaks volumes to those around us, to the people who are watching us, your friends and online friends and neighbors and coworkers, and those in the essential fields that are still getting out into the workplaces. Do they see fear in your eyes? Do they hear fear in your voice? Or do they see a fresh confidence, a happy expectation, a hope in the Lord to see us through and that everything will be all right? You see, as Paul had Timothy come back and report to him, he said, wow, your faith, when I heard about it, it meant so much to me. Your faith was incredible. And he encouraged them to keep nurturing their faith, to keep walking with God through the crises they were facing. And I would encourage you the same thing. Friends, let's have an enduring faith. Let's keep pressing on. Let's stick together. Let's keep reading the Bible. Let's keep showing people and inviting people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Bible faith and faith in Jesus and Christianity, it's not a blind faith. Sometimes you hear people say, well, it's a blind faith. It's not a blind faith. We see Jesus through the written Word of God. That's how we see Christ. We trust Jesus, but we still go see our doctors and we still take our medicine. We trust Jesus, but we still wash our hands. You better be washing your hands. We trust Jesus, but we still get an education. We trust Jesus, but we still go to work. We trust Jesus, but we trust Jesus, and because we trust Jesus, we live hopeful lives each and every day. And friends, we can have an enduring faith that speaks volumes. This is good news. Your enduring faith is good news in some bad times. I hope that you'll take some time to share your faith with others. Invite them to our Easter online services. Invite them to our Path to the Cross messages that we'll be putting out and other resources that we've made available. Let's get the gospel out like we've never got it out before. Let's keep showing the people around us and talking to people around us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we all have struggles. even a Christian with the most positive of attitudes, and it's not just the positive thinking mentality that I'm talking about, but we have something greater. It's a true, genuine faith in Christ. But when it comes to struggles, we all have struggles. Yes, we're going to have testing. We're going to have difficulties. We're all going to have temptations that we face. We're going to go through this trouble, this crisis together. And we're going to pray for those who are hurting right now, for those who will contract the virus, and those who are fighting it right now. We pray for less people to die from this, and we're asking God's will to be done. At the same time, we have a great hope in God that during this crisis, people will see the Christ of the crises, and because of our faith, God may use us and our example and our testimony to see hundreds and hundreds of other people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. Friends, we love you. Thank you for watching our program tonight. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, why not pray and ask Him to save you right now and believe in the gospel? He died on the cross, shed His blood, and rose again so that you could have forgiveness of sin. If you believe it, express that to Him in prayer right now. God, I believe You came to this earth. Jesus lived the perfect life, and He shed His blood on the cross. He died in my place. I deserve to die, but He died in my place. He rose again 3 days later. Lord, would You please forgive me and save my soul? I believe in what Jesus did on the cross. I believe He rose again. Would You save my soul? And you can pray that in Jesus' name. If you ask Christ to be your Savior just now, please let us know. If you want to talk more about eternal life, salvation, or the Bible, would you connect directly with me and we'll set up a time to talk? Email me at info@wiltonbaptistchurch.com and we'll be glad to set up a time to talk with you about Jesus and about salvation.